One of my favorite Star Treks is where Kirk was having an argument with Spock, and Spock was telling him how, you know, logic is always the way to go. And Spock was a little bit befuddled by Kirk, because Kirk would often do something illogical and then it turned out to be right. So they were talking about this, and Kirk was explaining to him, well, that's how the intuition works. You know, sometimes it's not logical, but when all it's all said and done, it will turn out to be logical. Spock says, well, that's kind of logical. So Spock saw the logic in his illogic. I always loved that series because the people in the Star Trek exemplify the different points of evolution of the masses. You have Bones being the solar plexus guy. You have Spock being the mental guy. And then you have Kirk being the guy with soul contact. You know, he can look at a situation and he can see an answer that nobody else can see. It's not logical to anybody. It's not logical to Bones. It's not logical to Spock. And the only reason Spock follows him, because he has a great track record. Spock will say, well, you know, he's right every time he's done it in the past. And I don't, it's not logical what he's doing. But because he's right so much, it's logical to follow him. So he follows. And Kirk turns out to be right, because he saw the intuitive. He was connected to the inner God, so to speak. So when the person receives his first soul contact, he thinks it's his imagination. And he thinks this several times. Even when he tests it and finds out where it led him was accurate. But then when it comes again, he'll doubt it the second time, and maybe a third time. And then the fourth time comes, and he says, this is too fantastic this time. I can't follow it. And he doesn't follow it, and then disaster happens to him. And he thinks, oh, I guess I should have followed that inner voice after all. And he says, maybe. Then he finally comes to the conclusion, well, maybe this inner voice thing is really something to it after all. Maybe I ought to start trusting it. And so he starts to trust it. And when the inner voice comes and he has the inspiration come to him, then he begins to trust it, begins to follow it, and the more he follows it, the more powerful it becomes, until the person finally reaches the point where he becomes what we call soul-infused. He's soul-infused to the point that he can achieve a degree of soul contact at any time, and he always follows the soul contact when it comes. Now, one question people have, well, they'll say, well, you know, I'm really searching, and I really want to have soul contact. What am I to do?
You tell them, Curtis.
What do you want? Okay, sure, yeah. When they want to have soul contact, what do you do?
Yeah. So the person comes to you and he says, I really want to achieve soul contact. What do I do? How do I get it?
How can I get soul contact?
Don't do anything. Just contemplate. Meditate. Go to the top of the mountain. That's what I did. That's what I did, and I had no expectation. This was when I lived in Topanga, and I went to the top of this mountain and got soul contact and a revelation. You can't push it. You have to be open, receptive, and fearless. Fearless, because whatever comes to you, you have to act on, and it'll take you to a place that you've never been.
Follow the highest you know.
Good. Okay. Well, part of my path, I followed a guru for a few years, and he had some pretty potent Raja yoga techniques. I think there are some yoga techniques, And he always said, don't believe I can show you. There are ways to make a direct contact, and if you build that, you can do it. And DK certainly has some of the meditation techniques that will do that as well. So I think there is a science of the soul, specific steps that can be taken,
yeah,
just like bodybuilding, but you build that connection.
Okay. Meditation?
Does it come as a literal voice and that you hear internally, like you hear voices that
no,
gives you...
No, it doesn't come as a literal voice. It comes as an impression that you, like, translate.
Like intuition?
Yeah. There have been a couple times I've heard a literal voice, but usually it comes as an impression. And because the impression is so subtle, especially when it first comes, you think you're just imagining it. Because if it's a real literal voice, you wouldn't think, that's not, you know, I'm hearing a literal voice, that's not my imagination. But because it comes as a subtle impression, your first inclination is, you know, I couldn't have got some message because that's just an impression. It wasn't a voice. It was just, but I'm just interpreting it. And so you learn. You need to become an interpreter, really, once you achieve the intuitive contact. Okay.
She mentioned intuition. A lot of times, I've had, you know, intuition about something, and you follow it. Sometimes it really works, and sometimes it really goes bad. And what I started finding out is that seems to get confused with what you want. Mm-hmm. If you get want in the middle of it, then you hear the wrong things, and you end up doing the wrong things.
Right. Now, if it goes bad, that means probably part of it came from your solar plexus. And now, then there are times that you may have got it intuitively, and it was accurate. But as you contemplate it, your solar plexus desire self interprets it incorrectly. And so you take a wrong step. All of us want to do things for our self-interest in ways that many times is illusionary and against our better judgment. But it's like the young kid falling in love with the wrong guy. You know, they'll think, oh, this is, if they believe in soul energy or God, they'll say, oh, God wants us, you know. They'll think that they received an answer from God about it, even, because that's what they really want. They really want this guy to be the one. And that is kind of the prime example of how the emotions interfere. But we have to be guarded against interpreting according to what we want rather than just tune into the pure revelation. Yeah, Dee?
As I look back on my life when it first started, I find, well, I wasn't real young. I was like in my teens. But it came at a time where there was a need that I couldn't quite meet. And I found that after that, the greater the need, the more the strength I had in knowing. I can just tell you the first time was my father had passed away, and there was a car sitting in the garage which he gave to my mother, and she never drove it. And I asked her if I could drive it and find she had the keys for it. When it came time to re-register it, my father was an engineer, and he had stuff piled all over, and I had no idea where to look for the certificate of ownership for the car to get it renewed. And, you know, I thought, well, there's nothing I can do. And the thought came to me, look in the, and he had like a little, one of those things that you open metal closet.
File cabinet.
Yeah, it wasn't a file cabinet, it was tall. And he said, the thought came to me, look on the top shelf. I thought, who cares? Walked in there, opened the thing up, put my hand up there, and it was right there. It was the only thing there.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love
it.
Like
Joe, I was just going to say, the one time when
I laid everything on the line when I was praying about reincarnation. I just went into a state of not know. I didn't know, and either way would have been okay, you know, if there was some other way.
Yeah.
But when I really wanted to know and I was open to it, you know, that's when I got that I call it a revelation or an answer, that I was in the state of soul connection for like 3 days, and mm-hmm. I thought it was some other spirit, but I think it was just my soul guiding me in a direction that I never would have gone any other way.
Yeah. Okay. What time were you dismissing for lunch, brother?
Noon.
Noon? Oh, we need to do it now. Okay, we'll continue this after lunch then. And I'll turn everything over to Artie.